of Christmas, which I'm sure that you all know. But we're going to hear it again. And I just pray that today that you it reignites something in your heart about the gift that God has given to us. So we're going to read some scriptures in Luke chapter 2, the most amazing story really that was ever told. And I want you to imagine that maybe you're there, even if you close your eyes, that you're there and you're hearing it for the first time. So let's begin. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. Oh, I think I'd be terrified too. These amazing angels came. But you know, the shepherds, they were considered the lowliest of society because of their jobs, their lowly jobs. They were not even allowed to worship in the temples because the law declared them unclean because of their jobs. But could you imagine the terror that they felt that night as the angels appeared to them? But then the glory of the Lord shone around them. And verse 10 tells us, but the angels reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. What an opening line. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. All people. That's everyone. All people. But do you realize that we carry something that is so powerful and so supernatural? It's good news that we carry, and it brings great joy for every single person who will receive it. So when we come to open our Bible, the world would say dull, boring, negative, outdated, but it's not. The story, this book, the pages are filled with good news, and the news in these pages produces great joy. So if we're not experiencing great joy in our lives, not just fleeting moments of happiness here and there, but a real sense of joy inside, then it's maybe because we've disconnected from the good news. Because great joy comes from the good news, and the hope of it today is for all people. We go on in the story, verse 11, and the angels, they declared their message. They said, the Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognise him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherds' story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, and it was just as the angel had told them. Wow, what a story. What an amazing thing to be a shepherd that day. I love the story of the first Christmas, and I'm so glad that we continue to celebrate Christmas for what it is, Jesus. I love the carols, I love the giving of gifts, I love all the celebrations, but to me, Christmas is, Jesus is the heart and the soul of Christmas and why we celebrate. Did you realise that in the Northern Hemisphere, Christmas comes at the darkest time of the year, 4 days after the winter's solstice, which is the longest night. So at the darkest part of the Northern Hemisphere, Christmas lights up the world. But on the other hand, whether you're in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere, it comes at the end of the year. Christmas comes at the end, where people have a sense of emptiness and tiredness. And so we need a celebration at the end of the year to remind us what it's all about, to refresh us, to refill us as we celebrate. And we celebrate three things. We celebrate that God is with us. I love that. I love remembering that he is with us and he will never leave us. And God is for us. He's not against us. And God is in us. And when we truly understand these things, we have reason to celebrate because it's good news and we can have great joy. Do you know, over 100 years ago, those words from Luke chapter 2 that we just read were the very first words that were spoken on a radio. A man named Reginald Fessenden invented the AM radio, and at first all it could do was transmit Morse code. That was a pretty big deal for them back in that day. And he was one of the chief inventors for Thomas Edison. And he had worked out this new way of communicating so that ships that sailed along the Atlantic northern seaboard could hear the tap, tap, tap of the Morse code. And on Christmas Eve in 1906, he was fooling around with his invention. And he'd got it all wired up enough and he thought it was ready to transmit a human voice. And so with no introduction, no press release, no email send out, no social media, just in the silence of the night, Reginald Fessenden opened his Bible to the very same chapter of Luke 2 that we just read. And into the silence of the night, he read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And they were the very first words that were spoken on radio. Could you imagine if you were the ship's captain and you're out there somewhere up the Atlantic and 1 minute you're hearing the tap, tap, tap of the Morse code and all of a sudden a human voice starts speaking. What a way to hear the good news. Great joy for all people. A saviour has been born to you today and he is Christ the Lord. We're going to sing a couple more songs and then I'll be back. And I'm calling you out and I'm going to lead you into a beautiful life. But for 400 years there was no sign, nothing, just silence. I wonder what they thought. They may have thought God was dead. Or you might assume that God was mad. Like 400 years of I'm not talking could seem that God was mad. Or you would assume maybe he just didn't have anything to say. But then, in the silence of that night came the most amazing sound. It was the sound of a crying baby that brought 400 years of silence to an end. A saviour was born. And I don't know about you, but I would have thought after 400 years that Jesus would have come with the biggest of fanfares, the biggest of entrances that the planet Earth had ever seen. But no, God chose to break the silence with a baby crying, a human cry, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God did not send his word as thunder from heaven, but he sent his word in the form of a baby, and the world was silent enough to hear. And I think that God was saying, I'm sending my son to earth, and I know that I'm coming to a broken world. I know that I'm coming to a weeping world. I know the world is weary, and I want you to know that I identify with your brokenness. I identify with your weeping, and I identify with your weariness. You see, kings ruled, empires rose, but hearts were hungry for hope, and it was the perfect moment when heaven's promise would meet earth's need. And what a day to break the silence. Do you know the day that God chose to break the silence was a busy, crazy day, which says to us that Christmas isn't always neat and tidy, perfect and clean or organised. Christmas can be chaos. The first Christmas certainly was. The census in Bethlehem brought crowds into the town, and it would have been hectic. So there was Mary and Joseph. I mean, think about it. It couldn't have happened at a more inconvenient time. It was not only census day, but they'd been travelling for 6 days on a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to get there in time to register. Mary's heavily pregnant, and they'd been under a cloud of scandal because they weren't married. They were engaged to be married, and of course we know the story that the Holy Spirit had come upon Mary to conceive the child, and their relationship was pure. But we could only imagine the way that people treated them and their story. All they wanted to do was to fall in love, live their dream, have their family. But God's plan was higher and greater than their plan. But it gets worse because no one's even got any room for them in any place to stay in town, only a stable. And probably not even a nice one, a smelly one, I'd say. It was probably more like a cave somewhere down the hillside or in a ditch on the side of a hill where the animals were seeking refuge. So it was census time. They were out of town, far away from her own town, pregnant, tired and weary, under suspicion, and it's late in the night and they're all by themselves. I don't really know, but I bet that Mary was praying that night. I bet she was saying, "Dear God in heaven, don't let this baby come here. I want to be home with my mum." I could imagine that. And I just think, poor Mary. But she was there to please God. And that night she went into labour and her baby came in what could have been seen as the worst day of their lives. There was nothing perfect about that night except the cry of a baby and the message the angel had spoken. Those words the angel declared, "A saviour has been born to you and he is Christ the Lord." And those words changed everything. Christmas had come down. God had bridged the gap and a saviour had been born to you and to me, and he is Christ the Lord. And that's the message of Christmas. But if your Christmas is looking shiny, that's wonderful. If all your presents are wrapped and under the tree and you didn't have to use your credit card this year, that's fantastic. If you're all organised and all the shopping's done and you've got the ham and the turkey and all the family's coming, fantastic, praise God. But if your Christmas is a little different for you, maybe it's a little chaotic. Maybe you've had some tough situations that you thought would never happen. Some people facing real battles and others we don't even know about. Maybe the family that you miss so much are not coming home for Christmas. Maybe you're facing a family who don't even get on together and you're dreading it. Maybe you've lost a loved one and this will be your first Christmas without them. And maybe you're just living with some past hurts and regrets and you're still looking back. Or maybe you've just lost your way and you've lost your joy and you don't even care about Christmas. And for some, it will be so busy that you are not even stopping to think about the reason for the season. And other people are just trying to make it through to the other side because they carry anxiety and depression and anger, bitterness and dysfunction in their families. And that can be true of life for any one of us. There are certain hard seasons in life that you'll go through. And God won't deliver you from them all. Rather, he will stand by you in those seasons of life. And his word tells us that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Hang on to those words if you're going through something. And just like it was true of Mary that night, God did not deliver her from the tough circumstances that she went through, but he was at work within her that night, and he is at work within us every day. You see, God knew that we could never reach him, and so he bridged the gap by sending us Jesus. And in the dark times, the lonely times, the stressful and painful times, he's with us, loving us and comforting us. And there is not a person who has gone so far from his love that he cannot reach them where they're at. And there is not a question or a direction that you long for that is not found in following the Son of God. He is full of truth, full of grace, and he is here with us now. And he is the good news. And that should bring us great joy. And by the way, Reginald Fessenden was also a classically trained musician. And that same night that he read the Christmas story, he also played the first song on the radio. The very first song he played, he picked up his violin. With no words, just instrumentally into the night, he played, "O Holy Night." Thanks, Dennis. We'll get that last slide. It says, just calm the music for a sec, that last slide.
O Holy Night.
We'll just pause the music.
Stars are brightly
shining. O Holy Night. You know the words, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. Remember, 400 years had gone by. God was not dead. God was not angry. Absolutely not. He was a baby had been born. And the baby's name was Saviour of the world. It certainly wasn't that he didn't have anything else to say, because on that night he said everything that he needed to be said. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. And if you feel you've got off the track, you can get back on. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Now, when you have a bunch of stuff going on, or even if you have good friends, it's not when you've achieved success in life that makes us happy. No, the Spirit feels it. The Spirit felt its worth for the very first time that your eyes were open to see that Almighty God had come to be your Saviour. And when that moment comes and when you realise that your soul feels it and that you matter to God. And that's why a thrill of hope for the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And I pray that there will be new and glorious dawn over your lives and over your heart from this day. So what do you have to do? You don't have to do anything, but you can just fall on your knees and open your arms and say, "Thank you, Jesus. I need you. I need you so much. Take control of this craziness of my life." And we ask that you come with grace and truth and set us free. And we're going to sing, "O Holy Night."